देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश चारणे. We are here in this temple, New Dwaraka, Los Angeles, California, and we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the author himself, Sri Vyasadeva Mahamuni, the incarnate Bhagavan Rishi, the incarnation of God in the form of a saintly person, Rishi, sage. We are studying and finishing up the fourth canto, chapter 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 29. Now we will invoke the presence of Krishna by chanting the 12-syllable mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidura Uvacha. Soyam Adya Mahayogin. Bhavata Karunatmana. Darshitas Tamasa Paro. Yatra Kinchana Go Hari. Please chant. Anyone else like to chant? Vidura uvacha. Vidura said, sa, that, ayam, this, adya, today, maha yogin, O great mystic, bhavata, by you, karuna atmana, most merciful, Darshita, I have been shown, Tamasa, of the darkness, Para, the other side, Yatra, where, Akinchanaga, approachable by the materially free, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, if you would please respond. Sri Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy, I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. Purport by the Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The material world is called tama, dark, and the spiritual world is called light. The Vedas enjoin that everyone should try to get out of the darkness and go to the kingdom of light. Information of that kingdom of light can be attained through the mercy of a self-realized soul. One also has to get rid of all material desires. As soon as one frees himself from material desires and associates with a liberated person, the path back home, back to Godhead, is clear. Trinadapi suni chena tadori vavsa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadar Hara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is finishing up the discussion that began in the third canto. We recall how Vidura went traveling on pilgrimage and first of all met up with Uddhava and wanted to hear Krishna Katha from Uddhava. But Uddhava, out of respect and humility, said, no, right nearby is Maitreya, you go and question him. So this third canto has been a discussion, questions and answers, Vidura placing in front of Maitreya. And here we see how much respect Vidura has for his guru. First of all, he praises him. That is the proper etiquette, that you glorify and praise the spiritual master. O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees. Then the next thing, causeless mercy. Because God and his devotee, they don't have to do anything. They are completely free and independent. They are not bound by any obligation. So when they bestow mercy, it is causeless. There's no nothing forcing them or causing them. They're doing it freely out of love. And that is the greatest benediction. To be blessed by the spiritual master, to be blessed by Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya pointed out to Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. It is the fortunate jiva, the fortunate conditioned soul. You have to be fortunate to get the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. And by those two, you get the seed of devotion planted in your heart. That is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Then, of course, it is one's duty to water that seed of devotion. It's not the spiritual master's duty. It's not Krishna's duty. The seed was planted. Now it is my duty. It is your duty to water that seed so that it becomes a nice creeper of devotion, as we heard in the purport, that if you are free from material desires and you're blessed by a pure devotee, then you can go back home, back to Godhead. So that creeper, please excuse me, Hare Krishna, that creeper is watered by the process of sravana kirtana, hearing and chanting. Actually, this hearing and chanting should go on. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Kirtaniya sada hari. Always you should be engaging in hearing and chanting. Last night, I had a nice dream. My dream was New Dwarka. And who was starring in my dream? And I'll wait. Anybody who's a dream expert, you can tell me the meaning. Shukadev was in my dream. Shukadev was chastising me nicely. Nicely he was chastising me. And in this dream, somehow or other, I found a secret room here in the temple. And I was taking rest in this room. And the pujaris, after, because I think it was a couple of nights, I was staying in this secret room here. And then the second night, some of the pujaris, they discovered me. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. And then I woke up. But it was nice to have a dream about New Dwarka. That's why when I led the kirtan, I said, Jai New Dwarka Dham. Because it is so... No, now I want to tell you something I learned yesterday. something that I think you will all appreciate, that there is this place in India, Ludhiana, and it is said that they have the second biggest Rath Yatra in the world next to Jagannath Puri. So Dwarkadish Das was there this year when they had their Rath Yatra, and he was telling me how elaborate, and it's the whole, it's not just, you know, the temple is doing, the whole city gets involved. But he said that wherever you go in that city, you see a picture. What picture do you see? Rukmini Dwarkadish. All over the city, wherever you go, you see these deities, Rukmini Dwarkadish. And then Dwarkadish reminded me, yes, that they are the most famous, most beautiful deities. Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki. Now we have to get back on track. So, Vidura is glorifying his spiritual master, Causeless Mercy, and it is by the process of hearing and chanting that we water this creeper. And this hearing and chanting should go on all day, every day. The more we can, and there's no question, like in anyone you ask, Ishana or Bhajagovinda, you can overwater. If you have a plant or a tree, you can overwater, and that could actually destroy. But this creeper, you cannot overwater. There's no question that, oh, I've done too much chanting today. I've done too much preaching today. I've done too much devotional service. No, that doesn't, that's a material consideration. This is spiritual. Hearing and chanting is transcendental. As Prahlad Maharaj said that to his father, this is the topmost education. And what is the beginning? Shravanam Kirtanam. He chanted that verse which has the nine items, Navalakshana, of bhakti. And he said, this is the topmost education. That's why Prabhupada's temples are learning institutions. And I've said many, many times around the world that, yes, I didn't go to college, but I do not feel that I am lacking in any knowledge. Why? Because Prabhupada's books has so much information. So much information in Prabhupada's books, a lifetime is not enough to get it all. So just by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, one will become very, very brilliant. Or what does the Bhagavatam say? Sumedasaha, yajyai sankirtana prayai yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who have big brain, they will take to the Sankirtan movement. The Sankirtan movement is hearing and chanting. So anyone who is doing hearing and chanting, he's a genius. Not the person who has 20 diplomas on the wall, but can't chant one Hare Krishna. No, the Bhagavatam says, Sumedasa, who has a big brain? The one who is engaged in Sankirtan, hearing, chanting, preaching. That is the real genius. So, Prabhupada said in the purport, he alluded to that Vedic mantra, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness and go to the light. So the light is Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada has emphasized, distribute book, because this world is full of the darkness of material consciousness. Ignorance. Ignorance under the guise of sophistication. Ignorance in the guise of so-called material advancement. Ignorance in the guise of progressive civilization. But no, they do not know this sublime knowledge, the real light that is coming from Srila Prabhupada's books, and he wants us to distribute this knowledge to anyone and everyone, Because they're suffering in the darkness of ignorance. They're suffering. And now, in the current world right now, not just United, all over the world, the people are suffering so much through so much cheating. The so-called leaders around the world and the big, they're just big rakshasas, every single one of them, big rakshasas, going by the name of president, prime minister, financial, they're just big demon rakshasas. And now, little by little, day by day, the people are suffering so much. Suffering. And then, Krishna, through the material energy, the environment is also retaliating. Very severe, harsh weather symptoms. And global ecological changes. This 2009 does not look good. It is not auspicious for the conditioned souls. We, on the other hand, don't worry. As Krishna says, Ma Suchaha, don't worry, don't hesitate, don't fear, don't doubt. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, perhaps this is all Krishna's arrangement. Yes, everybody now is suffering very intensely in the material world. Maybe now they'll be inclined to stop and take a book. Maybe now they'll be inclined to, well, let me visit the temple. Let me, in other words, when things get bad and then go to worse, then perhaps, then they have a chance. Maybe they'll snap out of it and take a direction towards Krishna. And we should be there, ready to give them Krishna consciousness. So, this darkness of this material world, and then, akinchanaga, approachable by the materially free, very similar to what Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna. Krishna was getting on the chariot to leave Hastinapur after the Kurukshetra war. He was going to go back to Dwaraka, but Kunti Devi stopped him and offered beautiful prayers. Prabhupada spoke on those prayers here in Los Angeles, in Mayapur. BBT did a separate book on those lectures. Teachings of Queen Kunti. So one of those prayers, she said that, my Lord, you are easily approachable, but only by the materially impoverished, those whose material desires have become completely wiped out. But those who are intoxicated by material advancement, material advantages, there's all intoxications, they cannot utter your name with sincere feeling. And that's the whole thing. We want to be able to try out, to chant, and to feel very sincere, feelingly, calling out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada even mentioned, to become free from material desires. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, twice, towards the end, two successive verses, 70 and 71, Krishna is pointing out that if you want peace, then you simply have to give up material desires. That's all it takes. Give up separate, independent material desires. Otherwise, as long as I have a desire to enjoy anything in this material world, then I should not expect peace. It's just incompatible. Peace starts from the platform where I let go. Just let go of all material desires. And then, but I don't become so-called desireless, as the Buddhist or impersonalist will try to have me believe. No, desire must be there. But it's material, independent, separate desire. That is what's hurting me. That is what's preventing me from being happy. I have this separatist, individual, selfish desire. I want to enjoy this. But pure desire, real desire, desire that is actually fulfilling, that is the whole message of the Maha Mantra. O energy of the Lord, Radharani, O Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. So it's simultaneously a desire and not a desire. It's not a desire because it's not material. It is a desire because it's absolute, it's pure, it's my constitutional position. As the poet said, you've got to serve somebody. Yes. But who to serve? That is the problem. Service there must be. The brahmachari considers marriage sometimes, not saying in all cases, sometimes the brahmachari thinks, oh, I don't like serving this temple commander. I don't like serving this president. Let me get married so that I can be the boss. That's how I was thinking. But after 2 weeks, then it became very clear. You're not the boss, you're the DOS. Yes, so you change one master for another. Everybody is servant. That is the constitutional position. The illusion, the lunacy is that although I am the servant, I'm thinking I'm the boss, I'm the enjoyer. That's the lunacy. It's an illusion. And the day will come. You may think, oh, I am the enjoyer. You may think like that, but the day will come and then it will become clear. No, you're not. You're not the enjoyer. You're the servant. Nothing more, nothing less. So the question becomes who to serve. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is indicating, pointing out. Lord Chaitanya is indicating, pointing out. Jivera Sarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this process of Krishna consciousness is a process of changing the quality of the desire. Purifying. It's a cleansing process. Chito Dharpana Marjanam. Cleansing the core of the heart. And it's a simple process. Just get up, begin chanting, try to hear the chanting. Simple process. Just try to hear the syllables of the mantra and then engage in practical activities which will be conducive for further hearing and chanting. All these activities that Prabhupada has given us, whether it's cooking in the kitchen, or working on the altar, or worshiping the deity, or working in the office here at the temple, or going on sankirtan, or going out meeting the public, whatever the activity that has been given to us by Prabhupada is simply a way so that it will enhance and enthuse you to do more hearing and chanting. And more hearing and chanting, what does Lord Chaitanya say? That the result of chanting is that all varieties of devotional service awaken. All varieties. So one thing feeds the other. You do nice hearing and chanting. What is the symptom of nice hearing and chanting? One exhibits a service attitude. When we see in ourselves and others that we don't have an inclination to do service, that means our hearing and chanting is not good. But if you're actually doing very good hearing and chanting, then there's a different mood. And the mood is, Prabhu, how can I do some, I want to do some service. You get this mood that you want to do some, and then by doing some nice service, after a while you think, oh yes, now I want to get back to some more heavy, intense hearing and chanting. So it snowballs. And in this way, you come to a stage where you're fired up. Fired up that no matter what, all you want to do, hear and chant, give me some service. Hear and chant, give me some, and in between, yes, take a little prasad. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama. And the last word, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes, especially Hindu people, and maybe sometimes others, but it's been my experience, this word Hari, they're very worried. Because they think, oh, if I say Hari, God is going to take everything away from me. I like my house. I like my car. I like my bank balance. If I chant Hari, He's going to take everything. I'm not chanting Hari. So therefore, you see, sometimes in the kirtan, they're like this. Because they're very afraid that if they chant Hari or Krishna, everything will be taken away. I've seen it. I've seen it in this temple. They're standing right in front of the deity, and they're like this. That lip won't budge an inch. But I hate to tell them, but they're at least hearing it. So you might as well chant, because it's already too late. You've become poisoned. But that mentality is there. But what they need to know from the devotees is that Krishna is taking away those things which are your impediments for happiness. Krishna doesn't care about your car, house, or bank balance. Krishna's got Radharani. Krishna has all the opulences. What does he need with your tin Mercedes car? And a few dollars, which in a few months your dollars is going to be useless anyway. So Krishna's not interested, no. Krishna simply wants to remove your chains, your things which are preventing you from really tasting real freedom and happiness. That's what Krishna is going to take away. Your impediments, your anarthas, the things which are keeping you shackled to this material world. That's what he's going to take away, if you're fortunate. If he really cares about you, that's what he does. He takes away all your attachments to this material world, which you're going to have to leave anyway. As I've said many times, you may be Bill Gates, but when Yamaraj comes knocking, you can't take one microchip with you. You have to leave everything behind. Cannot take anything. You may have amassed billions and billions of dollars, but when Yamaraj comes, bye-bye. Bye-bye, you're coming with me. So therefore, we should simply not hesitate and simply take full shelter of Hari and let the chips fall wherever they may be, but just have faith in Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Archita Das, for allowing me this service and to stay true to the, so that I'm not a hypocrite. Yes, I want more service. Thank you, Archita.
Hare Krishna. I'm not the brightest person on the planet, but I know a good lecturer when I see one. Thank you very much for sharing your realizations. Thank you very much for sharing that dream. You asked for an interpretation. If somebody knows how to interpret dreams, I do. It means you should come back here to New Dwarka and live.
I'll discuss that with my personal GBC. The one that I replaced with the other GBC. Any other comments, questions, challenges? All right. Archita, you can pick who goes. Yeah.
You say this process is very simple and easy. Why is this? Some people, it's very difficult for them to take it or surrender to it.
Yes. Just as Krishna's and Gurudev's mercy is causeless, there's also a thing called causeless unwillingness to surrender. And we're conditioned. We've been loitering here in the stool room known as Los Angeles or anywhere in the material world for innumerable lifetimes. We're addicted to material sense gratification. We're addicted. So yes, that's why you need a strong, something strong to pull you out. That's why generally, although there are exceptions, generally we don't surrender to Krishna until Krishna completely smashes, like in my case. Krishna smashed me completely. I was at the point of suicide. Then I decided to surrender to Krishna. And then after surrendering to Krishna, Maya again came back. Several times. So yes, we're very, what does the Bible say? The soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes. Therefore, we have to stay in the association of devotees and take as much help as we can from each other. Take much help. Okay, who's got, okay. I won't forget you, Amala, but they give, yes? He's turning it on. Hare Krishna.
Okay. All right. It's about six buttons on here. So, you mentioned Bill Gates can't take it with him. But didn't he take it with him in his last life? He had some karma to get some wealth, and he got wealth. So don't we take it with us in that sense?
In a sense, if you have enough pious credits mixed with devotional activities in the background, yes. But as far as what you've done this time, and the tendency is, when it comes time to leave it, we're not so inclined to leave it. That's the trick. Just think, you've done all this work and then just leave it? It doesn't work that way. We're so attached. So yes, if you are extremely pious and you have a background and there's some bhakti mixed in, yes, you may be able to pick up where you left off. But again, you have to leave it. So that, to me, is not intelligent. That I'm going to work hard and do all this and then, okay, I'll say goodbye. And then I got to start all over again. I don't know about you, but when I think about what I went through in grade school, high school, I said to myself, I don't want to go through that again. Puberty, how was that? That was a lot of fun. Yes, only a fool will be attracted to, I don't mind, I'll come back again. That's a foolish proposition. Give it to Amala Bhakta, and then after Amala Bhakta, you can have it. Yes,
thank you very much for a wonderful class, as usual. Just one point I wanted to elaborate on. You were mentioning that some of the Hindu folk are fearful of chanting Hari in the Hare Krishna mantra. And that's because, as you mentioned, they're afraid that all their possessions of a very valuable degree would be taken away. But in the Hare Krishna mantra, there is no Hari, it's Hare. And Hare does not mean the same as Hari. So first of all, there's a need for education, I think. Hare means, quite clearly, it means Radharani. Also, it can even be meant, coming from the root Hara, it could also mean Lord Shiva, both of which are auspicious, especially Srimati Radharani. So therefore, I think it's simply a matter of understanding that Srimati Radharani, who is closest to Krishna, when you chant her name, that's the simplest and easiest and fastest way to get to Krishna, who may give you opulence or who may take away all your opulence according to what you need. So that's another aspect of education, to learn to depend upon Krishna and take what he gives you. Don't try to dictate what he should give you.
Thank you. So this crew has been waiting a long time.
Yes, since you're not a Dvaitin, you make a distinction between matter and spirit. So I'm wondering, how is it, since we're not the doer, we're not the body, why is it that the activities of the body can have spiritual effect? Which would be chanting.
Okay, yes. This is the significant point of chapters 3, 4, and 5 of Bhagavad Gita. And my experience has been that many people familiar with the Vedas and with Gita, have a hard time understanding that there's such a thing as spiritual activities. Yes, it is a very difficult concept for many people, because people think in general, all activity is material, but if we just accept what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very plainly, that any so-called material activity that is done for Krishna's satisfaction, that is called a spiritual activity. And, yes, these senses are material, but as soon as these senses are engaged in these spiritual activities, they no longer remain material. They become spiritual. This is the whole crucial point of bhakti yoga. The verse is sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat paradena nirmalam rishikena, with your senses, rishikesha sevanam, render service to God, bhaktir uchite. This is the definition of bhakti. And even you'll see in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's chapter 4, where Krishna says, one who sees inaction or non-action in action, and action in so-called non-action. The difference between the impersonalist and the personalist. The impersonalist thinks, I will stop all activity and I will become free from the modes of nature. But the bhakti process, and the process that Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, no. Use your senses, serve me, you'll become free. Manchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati yaitan brahma buyaya kopate. Engage your so-called material senses in spiritual activities. You will transcend the modes of nature. Same thing. Atakshi Krishna namadi nabaved grayam indriyai sevan mukehi jayivado swayameva spurat yada. Yes. Ordinarily, the senses, the material senses, are incapable of understanding transcendence. Save on mokehi, but if you begin to use the tongue, swayam avas, he will manifest. God will manifest. He's given you a process. Yes, you're a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. Yes, I have material senses. But he gives you a way to parole. There is a way out. It begins with the tongue. Take lots of prasadam and chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes.
That was a very wonderful answer. Thank you. On a simpler level, though, if we accept that matter exists and spirit exists separately, then we know that matter does not do anything. Spirit is a motivating force. So you can't blame the body for doing this or that. The body's doing what it's doing because the owner of the body, the knower of the body, desires that. So the whole process of bhakti, again, is just to change that desire. Not to stop acting. Like Prabhupada said, we are not against sex, but we're against sex that is in line with Krishna's desires. We're not against eating, but we're for eating that's in line with Krishna's desires. In other words, eat only prasadam. So the body is not to blame for anything. So it's not really the body that's acting, it's the person. And you have to just retrain that person to desire properly. The body never does anything. As we know, when the person is not there, the body is considered dead. It doesn't do anything. It's always dead. It's never really alive. It's only alive when that soul is there motivating it. So that soul needs to be given motivational training. And that's what bhakti is all about. How to motivate properly to do the right thing.
And you said take prasad, so let's go take prasad. Class dismissed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.